Get ready to enter the Thrive Time Show. 3, 2, 1, boom!
Time to face the rise and grind. We started from the bottom, now we're here. We started from the bottom, and we'll show you how to get here. We started from the bottom, now we're here. We started from the bottom, now we're here.
Thrive Nation, welcome back to the Thrive Time Show on your radio and podcast download. Now, today we have a lot in store for you. We're going to be answering questions from actual thrivers just like you, and then we're going to be getting into the Bill Belichick method. And this just in, it works.
Whoa.
And the players love winning, but they resent it. So we're going to be talking about the Bill Belichick method that works effectively, and it produces wins year after year, but yet the players resent it.
Oh,
so we're going to be answering questions from thrivers during the first half of the show, and then we're getting into the Bill Belichick method for coaching in the NFL and for producing competitive teams year after year as the head coach of the New England Patriots. And so, Chubb, let's start off by getting into our question from a thriver. I guess, Marshall, you want to break down the question from a thriver?
Let's do that.
Yeah, so I have a question from a thriver, and I've actually heard this from a couple different clients, but I want to frame this up. I have a client, and he does Facebook lead generation for all of his clients, okay? So he'll actually run Facebook ad campaigns. He'll go in and help generate leads for these clients. He operates a lot in the fitness industry, martial arts, tumbling, gymnastics, CrossFit, you name it. He does Facebook lead generation for them. And so what we are working through is a no-brainer offer for these clients as part of his path. And so he's a coaching client, helping him develop this no-brainer. And so one of the things that he's facing as he goes in and does this is it's a trade-off, right? He's trying to balance, you know, how do I develop a no-brainer offer while generating revenue for my business and my family? Because right now I'm very self-employed. So how do I get clients? Okay, what type of social proof and credibility do I need? And what no-brainer do I need to offer in way of that?
Well, I've got a little bit of clarification I want to provide before we answer the question, because I want to make sure we're helping all of the listeners out there today. Clarification number one I want to offer to all the listeners is what problem is Brian actually solving for people? Because you're saying he runs Facebook ads.
That's right.
Lead generation for other people.
That's right.
Why would somebody be willing to pay him and not just do it themselves?
Because the business owner for these different companies, they don't do marketing in the first place. So that'd be a problem that he's solving for people. They just don't do any kind of marketing. The second problem is they don't know how to do it. Okay.
So are you confident that this actually is a viable thing, that people are willing to pay for the service?
Yes.
So you're confident?
Very confident.
Okay, I'm going to have Chubb list this on the show notes because
okay.
I want to get into this for a second. I would say this as an entrepreneur, if you're out there and you're saying to yourself, because I want to make sure all these principles apply to everybody. If you're out there saying, gosh, I have this business idea I'm working on, I'm trying to get it off the ground, make sure that people actually are willing to pay you for the product or service. And in Brian's case, I do believe that he has an actual viable product that people are willing to pay for. And I believe it solves a lot of problems. And I want to list the problems that I believe Brian is solving for people.
Right.
One, most people have no idea how to run a digital marketing campaign. That's issue number one.
Well, it's because it involves technology.
Yes.
Step two,
most people are not willing to stay on top of it. So once they do know it, learning is a process, not an event. So even in the event that somebody goes to a conference to learn how to do digital marketing, Brian's going to have to stay on top of the technology because it's always changing, improving, that kind of thing. Third, I have not met clients. I mean, if I meet 100 clients or 100 people at a workshop or 100 people, business owners, I might meet 5 that track their numbers consistently. So if Brian is providing tracking, then I also think that's a valuable service. Okay, so again, he's running the ads for people. He's staying on top of the technology. He's providing tracking. Fourth is Brian is going to have to be able to provide people advice as to how to generate leads. So, Brian, I want to make sure that you get this idea resolved in your head, and then everybody can benefit as a result of it. Your financial status does not in any way or should not in any way relate to your no-brainer. So you should get another job, is what I would do. I just wouldn't, like the elephant in the room, like if you bought an elephant in the room tomorrow, okay, so if I sold one to Steve Currington here with Total Ending Concepts tomorrow, all right, or I sold one to Marshall tomorrow, okay, so you guys build one. It's going to cost you $150,000, $100,000 to get the business built. Steve, let's just say that someone went out there and got a small business loan to build an elephant in the room.
Yeah.
So let's say they're paying payments of $3,000 a month, and your lease is $3,000 to $4,000 a month. So overall, you're paying $7,000 a month. Plus, you got to make payroll. You're out $11,000 to $12,000 a month. Our no-brainer for elephant in the room is what's the no-brainer, Steve?
It's a dollar for your first haircut.
Okay. Now again, you're just to get going. Your monthly cash flow to get going is about $11,000 a month. Now, Steve, you're a mortgage guy, so I'm leaning on you heavily here for the math. Okay.
Okay.
The startup cost for an elephant in the room will come out to about $11,000 a month. We got that?
Yep.
And the first haircut is how many dollars?
One.
How many haircuts a month would we need to do to break even?
Oh no.
11,000.
But then, actually, we don't actually break even because the people are getting paid a minimum of $12 an hour. So if we change the no-brainer, if you change the no-brainer to meet my financial needs, then the whole company wouldn't work.
Yeah, it'd no longer be a no-brainer for people.
This is why our competition cannot compete with us, because the average person doesn't have 6 months of revenue saved. And to open an elephant in the room or a sports clips, you will not be profitable for at least 6 months. So you have to be prepared. If you open a Papa John's, you will not be profitable for at least 6 months. Steve, if you started in the mortgage industry tomorrow, like you've never done it before, okay, go back to when you first started. You were a debt collector, mm-hmm. and you were making more than $100,000 a year. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Am I exaggerating?
Yeah, no.
Kind of a little bit of a tapestry or a little bit of background on how much money you were making as a debt collector and why you decided to shift into the mortgage industry.
Well, I was making about $150,000, and I was 24, 25.
You're making $150,000 a year. You're 24, 25.
Yep, and then I decided to get into the mortgage business because the place I worked, they were like, you need to leave.
So you got
we love you, but
so you got fired.
Yeah,
Oh,
now today.
So brash. I don't know if you should say that.
Now today, I mean, you're just kind of segueing there. Now today, your mortgage company's doing very, very well.
Yeah.
And if somebody out there gets a mortgage from you, let's say they're going to buy a house that's worth $200,000, after paying all expenses, how much do you get if you are the actual mortgage banker that does the deal?
Most of our mortgage lenders are paid a commission based on the percentage of the loan. So
let's
say like
get?
It's 1%, 1.25% of the loan. So if you did a $100,000 loan, you might, as a loan officer, make about $1,250.
Okay. So now you make probably more than you made doing debt collection.
Yeah, you just have to close more loans than you.
But what I'm saying is now you probably make more.
Right.
But when you transitioned into your new career, how much money did you make per month when you started out in the mortgage industry?
Well, my first year I made $13,000.
Whoa!
What?
That's Rambo money right there.
No, but I want to make sure you're getting this.
Yes.
You went from making $150,000 a year to $13,000 a year?
Yeah. Yeah, well, a little over 13,000.
13.5.
And change.
13 and change.
So what I'm saying to you and all the listeners out there, if you said Clay Clark, I don't sell DJ Connection franchises. I'm very much removed from the business. But if somebody said, hey, I want to start DJ Connection just like you did, how did you do it? I would say cold call every company in your town and be willing to do their party for one half of what they're currently paying. Ask them, who currently DJs your party? And they would tell you. And then you'd say, well, to earn your business, I would like to do a show for half of what you paid last year. Now, let me ask you, on a scale of 1 to 10, how happy were you with last year's entertainer? And they would say, oh, it was 7 or an 8. And you say, well, I'd love to take it to a 10, and you just pay me half of what you paid the other guy.
Right.
And you would have to do that for 24 months because the Christmas party, Marshall, only happens once a year.
Mm.
So your first year, you're losing money or breaking even. Now, how can you afford to lose money or break even, Marshall? How can you afford to do that?
You got to get a second job.
Right. So again, you might say, oh my gosh, Clay, my man, I want to start a podcast that gets into the top 10 of iTunes. And I would say to you, well, Chup, step one, you want to work on the podcast with, it was me, Z, and a dude. And another dude. There was four dudes, okay? Then dude number two quits because the pay's not very good. He's only making like $40,000 a year. Mind you, I'm paying him $40,000 a year. Right. I'm not making anything per year for the podcast. Right. So make sure I'm paying him $800 a week to produce the podcast. He says the pay's not very good. I point out to him, I make nothing, right? So it's Z, me, a dude, and a dude, both of which are making $40,000 a year. I want to make sure we're getting this. So that means Z and I are paying $1,600 a week, and we're not bringing any money in.
Right.
Year two, Z and me introduce Eric Chup. Eric Chup comes on the show, doing well as a business coach. Last time you checked, how much do we pay you to be on the show?
Not anything.
Yeah, right, right.
Zero.
Right. And you know why that is? Because we're climbing up the charts.
That's right.
And as we get more people who subscribe, we spend more money on advertising. So far, to climb up the iTunes charts, I personally, just me, the money I've spent on production, paying people to produce the show, whatever, so far I'm up to about $250,000 to get the podcast into orbit, paying people to produce it,
right,
paying people to edit, paying for it to have certain guests on the show, interviewing, travel, whatever. Now, again, step one, if you said, Clay, what's the tip to be a successful podcaster? Step one, you want to make no money. And if you're going to pay someone else to produce the show, you got to
actually lose money.
$800 a week.
Right.
So you'd say, well, I don't want to do that part. Well, then you can't do it. So you say, well, how do I get the money? Well, I'll go back to how I started. You want to get a job at Applebee's, Target, and DirecTV simultaneously.
Mm.
Now you say, how did Dr. Z do it, though? Oh, okay. Because Dr. Z is no-brainers. How much for the first pair?
$99.
$99 for the exam and the first pair of glasses.
Correct.
Now, how could he afford to do that? Because he doesn't make any money on the first exam or the pair of glasses if you do it for $99. I don't know if you're aware of this. He does not come out ahead if you do an exam and glasses for $99. The idea is to build a lifetime customer.
Right.
So, Chup, how do you think he afforded to do that?
War chest, save money, delay gratification,
worked seven days a week. And right. He actually worked for another optometrist in town who knew that he had a second job. And he told him, hey, I'm starting my own thing. Can I work for you? Yes. Yes, you can. And previous to that, he was the president of iMart. So, again, what's the... No-brainer, back to the root question, the no-brainer. For the no-brainer for Elephant in the Room will always be a dollar. Just talked to a guy the other day who wants to buy an Elephant in the Room location in New Orleans. And he says, well, God, I don't have the kind of money needed to offer $1 haircuts. You know, can I offer like half off when I start? I said, nope. But what you could do is you could call me back in 3 years when you have some money saved.
Save some money.
So, Brian, I love you. You're a great American. Sometimes the truth is not very comfortable. But you need to make your no-brainer very, very a no-brainer. Make it super low. Make it absolutely a no-brainer. Make it such a good deal people can't say no. Make it so low that you can't make money doing it.
Hans.
And then do such a good job over-delivering that people come back and bring friends. That's how you exactly. That is how you do it. And I hopefully that answers your question. We come back from the break. If there's any additional clarifying that I need to do, Marshall will kind of instruct me during the time out there. It's kind of during the commercial break if maybe there's more clarity needed. And then we're going to answer a question that came in from a thriver out there that cleans carpets, and he wants to know about the balance of faith and finances. When should you incorporate faith into your business? But before we go to the break, I encourage all the listeners to go to hoodcpas.com. That's hoodcpas.com. If you have an accountant that is less than proactive about your taxes and your financial planning, go to hoodcpas.com. But once again, that's hoodcpas.com, and schedule a consultation with hoodcpas.com. Stay tuned.
No negative emotion, cause that's what business is. Always dominate, cause I got 5 kids. I will not lose, I don't break but bruise. They can talk about me, I can take that abuse. Here is the truth, while they make that excuse. I'll be up grinding, cause the scoreboard's the truth. He is my mentor, like my Yoda dude. He showed me the force like I was a young loot.
All right, Thrive Nation, on this edition of the Thrive Time Show, the Thrive Time Radio Show and podcast download, we're answering questions from real thrivers like you. So, Chup, we're going to just call this answers to the questions of, and then we'll just put the first names of the people asking. That way it's easy for them to find it. And so we'll say answers to the questions from Brian, from Nathan, from, and we'll just list everybody's first name. That way, you as the Thrive Nation can find the answers quickly, but also we can condense it into one podcast that can benefit a great many people. Now, Marshall, before we went to the break, we were answering some questions from Brian, who was wanting to know, hey, can I do a different no-brainer that's maybe less good to be able to support myself financially? And I was just clarifying, no, the no-brainer needs to be a no-brainer. If it's not a no-brainer, then it's just a price that is lower, that is not going to move the needle. Now, what other questions does Brian have related to his business?
So how do you approach pricing? So as far as pricing goes, do you want to do it so that you charge them more over time and you tier it up, like you pay little upfront?
Now, okay. Explain to the Thrive Nation what Brian's core business is again so everyone can learn through this.
Yeah, so if you're just tuning in, what Brian does is he does Facebook lead generation. He goes in, he helps business owners, he helps gyms, he helps cross-training facilities generate more leads for their business, okay? And so digital marketing is kind of like a crazy landscape. And if you don't understand technology, it can feel really daunting and really overwhelming. And so what Brian does is he'll actually set up a digital marketing campaign that produces leads for these business owners.
Quick time out for anybody out there listening. In like 3 days, I think it is, 2 days soon, we'll have a guy come to my house. This is a guy like six, guy five. And he is making a 3D rendering of what my backyard will look like. What I'm trying to do, Steve, is to create the ultimate man cave, where it's like a deal where it's going to be like. Have you ever been to Lake Travis in Austin, Texas, before, Steve?
No.
You ever been to the pool at the Caesar's Palace in Vegas?
Yes.
Okay. Like where it's just it is itself a really nice resort kind of place, and you don't want to leave,
right?
That's how I want to make it. So I'm working on it, and you know why I'm not going to do it myself, Steve?
Because you don't want to dig a hole for a pool with a backhoe?
Well, one is I don't have the skills. Two, I don't have the tools. Three, I don't want to have the skills and the tools. Four, I want the result.
The time put in, right?
Right. So this is a great – what Brian's offering, I believe, fundamentally in the idea. So I want to make sure all listeners get that. I believe in what he's doing. Digital marketing is a problem for most business owners today. Back to you, Marshall, for the rest of the question.
Okay. And so how do you set up pricing? Do you want to do like a large upfront fee to cover all of your expenses up front, or do you want to just set it at a certain price?
Well, let me cold call myself to make it real.
Okay.
Hey, who's in charge of the marketing for Elephant in the Room? Someone would say, Clay Clark, the owner. Can I reach him? He's not available. And they would say, well, could I get a hold of him? Absolutely not. And then you as a salesperson would say, I will pay $100 for a 30-minute meeting with him. And I want all the listeners to know, the only vendors that I've bought from in the last 2 years have used that move because they've heard me talk about it. So our printer guy, he says, hey, I would like to pay $100 for half hour of his time, and he can keep. I'll give him $100. When I sit down, I'll give him $100 of cash just to meet.
Nice.
An insurance agent I used did the same move. Hey, I'd like to meet you. And then the time, my assistant, she says, he does not meet with people. And he says, okay, I'll pay $100 for half hour of his time. And that's who I bought life insurance from. So I am telling you, step one, you are going to have to get a hold of anybody that has a business that does more than $1 million a year of revenue, you're probably going to have to pay for the appointment. And then when you get in front of them, you're going to have to do a no-brainer saying, hey, I'll handle your first month of marketing for a dollar or for some price that's insanely low. Then how long does it take for you, Steve, to trust a vendor? How long? Because how many vendors have you gone through for AdWords management? How many vendors have you gone through for AdWords or some kind of marketing or business cards or something where you've, in the past, used them and they didn't turn out to be the real deal?
Too many to count. I mean, a lot. A lot.
Would you say that...
Just business card providers.
Would you say the biggest issue is they can't be consistent?
Yes. Yeah, that's like our... You know, we've had the problem with... If you want foil on your business cards, you have to find a company that does foil. Then you have to find a company that will actually consistently print foil.
And consistency is the hard part.
Yeah.
And so what will happen is, Brian, and for anybody out there who wants to start a digital marketing company or any business at all, is most vendors can't keep it together because they idea hop.
Yeah.
So every 6 months, they hop to a new idea. And anybody who has a successful company hops to a new idea about every 50 years.
Yeah.
So like for Thrive, the podcast we're doing, I'm going to move on to my new idea. Like I'll stop doing these podcasts when I'm dead.
Mm.
You know, yeah. So when I'm dead, I'll try something new.
Right. Mm.
You know, I'll probably go meet the Lord, ask him what's going on. Hey, man, why is there sickness? Why is there pain? Why are there wars? Right. That'll probably be my new podcast I do.
You say, oh, time out on that answer. I got to go do my podcast real quick.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you're out there trying to win the respect or the business of a customer, you are a business owner. If you're dealing with businesses, you've got to do a no-brainer, Marshall. And then your first month, you might charge a dollar or something super low. And then you would say, the first 3 months, we're going to charge this month. This much. The first 3 months, we're going to charge this much money.
Right.
Then after month three, maybe four and five, we go up to this price, and then we stay there.
Right.
But you can't do it the other way. And a lot of these business owners, for cash flow reasons, want to charge an upfront fee, a setup fee. Now, Steve, why would you as a business owner not want to pay an upfront setup fee to switch to a new marketing company? A setup fee, you know, $4,000 just to set it up. It's normally $2,000 a month, but it's $7,000 to set it up right now. It's normally, you know, $600 a month, but it's $2,000 a month to set it up. Why would you not want to pay the setup fee?
Because I paid the setup fee before, and 2 months later, I fired them because they didn't do what they said they were going to do.
Every
time. Which is actually what I'm doing right now with a certain online digital lead company that we paid $1,500 per website to set up, and they, for some of the mortgage leads that we do. And so, as a business owner, when you have a vendor like that,
right.
it tells me that you're willing to work during that time, proving that your service works. And if you're, you know, you're charging a $1 or the no-brainer or whatever it is, and then you're doing a smaller amount, it puts that vendor in a position where they have to prove,
dude,
that their system is valuable and that they can make money from it or you can make money from it.
Check out this hot sauce. There's a vendor trying to earn our business for one of our companies. True story. And the initial quote they gave me was like $4,000. They have a final meeting set up to review what they've delivered, the deliverables. They miss the meeting. Yeah. Then they send me an email saying it'll be almost $8,000 of additional money to get the other things because there must have been a miscommunication about the deliverables.
Oh, there must have been.
And that happens every single time. So that hopefully that answers Brian's question. When we come back, we're going to answer more of Brian's questions. Then we're answering questions from Nathan, and then we're going to answer questions from a few other Thrivers. I think a Thriver by the name of Mike. And during the break, I encourage you to go to hoodcpas.com. If you're looking for a proactive accountant, go to hoodcpas.com. File your taxes on time with hoodcpas.com.
And now, broadcasting live from the box that rocks, it's the Thrive Time Business Coach Radio Show.
It's top of high of learning and high of earning. Taking you to the top like we're hiking Mount Vernon. We're changing the mindsets like we're incense burning. Passing on the magic like our name was Irvin. Serving up that knowledge like I was a servant. I cite what I say so you know I'm not a servant. The Thrive Time Show, bringing the heat while fervent. Giving it to you straight in a world that's swerving. Stacking the cash, making the dash, earning the plaques, bringing it back. Bring me the track so I can get up on the mic and speak the facts. Stacking the cash, making the dash, earning the plaques, bringing it back. Bring me the track so I can get up on the mic and speak the facts.
Thrive Nation, welcome back to the Thrive Time Show on your radio and podcast download. Our entire focus for doing the Thrive Time Show is to provide you with a business school without the BS. It is so common, so normal, so unfortunately average and predictable that the average American will go to college to study business, and the one thing they won't teach you at business college, Chup, is
business. It's unbelievable.
They'll teach you about psychology. They'll teach you about social science. They'll teach you about ethics. They'll teach you about marketing, broad, vague concepts. But when it comes to actually making the money,
nothing.
Typically, you'd say, hey, real quick, I'm a senior. I'm about ready to finish. And before I finish, I just want to know, what are the steps to actually making the money?
Right.
And your professor would say,
because it doesn't take 4 years. All you have to know is show up early and never quit.
Okay, so we're going.
There you go.
So we have a Thriver out there who's actually wanting to know, how do I make my company profitable? And we have a Thriver up there in Minnesota who has been working with one of our coaches. who has a question about the onboarding of new clients. And so in our coaches meeting, it was discovered that their onboarding process is very complicated. I believe me, it was like, I don't know how many steps, but step 1, 2, 7, 8, 9. Marshall, can you kind of describe the complexity of this onboarding process?
Well, yeah. So during the coaches meeting, we talked about this, and I thought it'd be helpful to bring up on the show to talk about how a simple onboarding process can really benefit you as a business owner, and how we need to just focus on sales, right? And so if we just swipe the card and then there's 80 million steps.
Sell something. Yeah, you don't want to get caught up in that middle stuff.
And I don't want to get
caught up in that middle stuff.
Right.
I'm just telling you, because what's going to happen is you're going to be a guy by the name of Coach Calvert. You're a client. This Dateline, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 2011, Coach Calvert reaches out to a man by the name of Clay Clark, which is interesting because that is me. This story involves me. What in the world?
Wait, I know a coach.
So Coach Calvert, what happens was he had a basketball coaching facility where they coach. What do you think they coach at this basketball coaching facility?
Humans.
Right. So what happens is that the parents have kids, and the kids basically get trained on how to become better at basketball, and most of the trainings occur, do you think, during the day or after work?
After work.
Okay. Do you think on the weekends, if they prefer, or do you think right in the Monday, in the middle of the day? Would most parents prefer to take their kids to basketball lessons on the weekends or right in the middle of the workday?
Probably on the weekends.
Okay. So Coach Calvert nailed that part. They are offering lessons at night and on the weekends. And when a parent comes in to go to basketball camps, do they want 407 package options?
No.
Or do they want 3? You're a parent.
Yeah, I would want to know this or this option. What do you want to do?
How old's your daughter right now?
She's 7.
What kind of things is she involved in?
Gymnastics is what she's been doing right now.
Okay, so when you go to gymnastics, if they offered you 407 types of lessons, could you handle it emotionally? After a full work day?
No, absolutely not.
After a full work week, would you want to look at like 407 options?
I can hardly handle the 5 options at Chipotle.
Steve, hypothetically, if you're taking your kids to basketball lessons, would you want to look at a big brochure with 407 options?
I don't even want to take them in the first place, so absolutely not.
But I'm being serious, though.
I'm being serious. I would, like, drop them off at the door, and they would need to decide.
If you were...
So you wouldn't want them to have that many options because they're 7.
If you were signing up for a vendor, let's say, to get printing supplies, okay?
Yeah.
Would you want to have 407 options for your office, or would you want to have option A, B, or C?
That's all. Yep. A, B, C.
So here's the magic of what I helped Coach Calvert create. You want to attend our basketball camps, our lessons? Great. Package A is like a big group. Package B, smaller group. Package C, one-on-one.
Yep.
Cool. And if you do one-on-one, it's more expensive, but it also includes the camps. Package B includes the camps. Package A, not so much. So big group doesn't include the camps, more affordable. Package B does include, it's a smaller group, includes the camps. Package C, it's a one-on-one kind of deal, includes the camps. Very simple. Now we're going to need to get your debit card or credit card on file. Get your debit card or credit card on file, and you're going to sign a waiver that says if your kid breaks his face, his legs, his fingers, whatever, we're not liable. You feel me? You sign this, you sign that. There's 2 things to sign, all on one sheet, debit card or credit card, set you up on authorized.net, charge you the first of the month. That's the system. Now, previously, there was like an onboarding email the person gets. There's a sign-up thing. There's all these documents.
All of things that are not scalable, right?
And then people were actually allowed to come by and drop off checks.
Oh, no.
And so what happens is when people can come by and drop off checks, or you can pay via cash or credit or debit or what do you call it? What's the my mind's going blank.
Money orders.
Cashier's
check.
There's one more, though. It's cashiers. Like where you automatically deduct it from their checking account.
Oh, ACH.
ACH. What does that stand for?
Automated
Clearinghouse.
Clearinghouse, yeah.
So, I mean, there's all these different options.
Nice.
So you're giving someone a form, and there's all these different options, and people are doing it. People are going, well, I'll drop by a money order on the 5th. You could choose your payment date, too.
For the first half, and then I'll pick up a check for the second
half. No, I'm being serious, though.
I know, it's
and
crazy.
They had like 50,
you got to choose your class time, too, yeah, and how
they had
long
like
it
50
was,
kids, you know, and with 50 kids, each one with different payment options, and it didn't work. He basically became a...
Collections company.
A collections company.
It's terrible.
So I would just say, if you're out there and you have a business and you're trying to onboard, whether you're selling printing supplies, marketing services, basketball coaching, piano lessons, music lessons, anything, You got to keep it simple. Marshall, does that answer the question?
Yeah. We just got to really streamline that process after you take the credit card. Because if you're running around creating automated templates, if you're running around creating forms and documents and automated text messages
and emails.
Well, no
one uses them, first off.
Right.
No one uses them?
No. I haven't yet worked with a client that has ever had a system like that that works.
No. Humans.
Nope. That's effective.
Let me give you an example. There's on Facebook right now. Let me go on Facebook. I hate going on Facebook.
Here he goes.
It's like
on Facebook.
Siberia.
Yeah, and you'll get these wasteland. People. Well, I'm just going to pull it up real quick so you can see. It's what happens. You pull it up here on the screen, and you'll see like these people that will send you a message. How do you send someone a message on Facebook?
Don't even know, man. I don't know.
Messenger. Here's a messenger. And there's people that are going to like just send me messages all the time like, hey, just so you know. Hey, just so you know. Hey, just so you know.
New
hey,
message requests from this guy and 15
right.
others.
And then, if you go to like LinkedIn, and I don't go on LinkedIn, so I don't know if it's even logged in right now. But if you go on LinkedIn, there's all these programs that you can pay for. But I think the last time that somebody in our office went into my LinkedIn, they said there was like thousands of unresponded to messages. Same thing on Facebook. You've got to keep it simple because simplicity scales, and Marshall, complexity
fails.
This just in. And I'll tell you what, if you're out there and you say, I don't want to overcomplicate it. I know that people judge me based upon the cleanliness of my bathrooms. If you have a business and you want to keep your bathrooms clean, you want to keep them really clean. And you realize, hey, it's not that complicated. I just want to keep my bathrooms clean. I want to have one vendor that I pay to keep my bathrooms clean. I don't want a super complicated onboarding process. Then I would recommend that you use the cleaning service, the janitorial service of choice for Google, for Neustar, for DuPont, for Dr. Robert Zellner and Associates, for Total Ending Concepts, for the Thrive Time Show, our good friends at theclassicclean.com. Again, theclassicclean.com. If you want to keep your bathrooms clean, then I recommend you check out theclassicclean.com, Tulsa's most trusted janitorial service. Stay tuned.